At a famous trade book publishing house, they say the monkey pays the bills. What they mean is that a perennially successful line of children's books earns its keep and more. This week, we learned that a penguin has a bill to pay, perhaps as much as $90 million, to settle a Department of Justice lawsuit. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series, Beyond the Book. My name is Chris Keneally, your host, and every week, the editors and writers for Publishers Weekly join us with a look at the week's news in trade book publishing. And on the line from his office in New York City is senior writer Andrew Albanese. Andrew, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, you know, you predicted it. It probably wasn't that hard a prediction, I have to be honest with you. But indeed, indeed, Penguin did settle that lawsuit with the Department of Justice, leaving Apple standing alone. But tell us, first of all, what will the cost be to the Penguin?
That's right. You know, as I always expected, Penguin did finally settle its price-fixing lawsuit this week with an agreement with the states and the consumer class. And as you mentioned, that agreement could end up topping $90 million when all is said and done. But you're also right. It's not really a big surprise. I think the real question was only a matter of when they were going to settle, not if. And they clearly waited down to the wire, and it appears to have cost them. So, speaking in broad strokes, the deal is the same as the other publishers got in their settlements with the states and the consumer class. But Penguin is going to pay about three times more than what Macmillan paid when it settled last month, and in March. And it's going to pay about as much as Hachette, actually more than Hachette, Simon & Schuster, and HarperCollins combined paid in their initial settlements with the states. Now, Penguin, of course, is a much larger company, so there's that. But the reality is that, yeah, you know, they certainly probably did pay a premium for negotiating a late exit before the trial. And what's a little bit puzzling to me is, they did have to settle. We knew that, period. If you remember when Macmillan settled, John Sargent, the CEO of Macmillan, said that the company was faced with a potential award if it had lost a trial of more than the company was worth. So that gives you a sense of what might have been at stake here. But I just don't understand what Penguin was hoping to accomplish by dragging their heels. I think it's unclear to a lot of us at this point. If I had to guess, I'd say it maybe had something to do with its merger with Random House. Maybe there was an administrative strain there, or perhaps there was some financial approach that Penguin was incorporating. You know, maybe that larger amount is minimized when it's on the balance sheet of a massive combined company. Who knows? But when the trial begins, you are right, Apple will no longer be part of it. They have settled.
Well, yeah, as you point out, the stakes are reasonably high for Penguin and all of this. Could have been higher if they had hung on. Apple is hanging on, and the stakes for them, they've got to be enormous.
They are, in fact, sky high, as you might imagine. You know, in all the five publishers combined are on the hook for about $200 million between awards and fees over this ebook issue. But that's a drop in the bucket compared to Apple, right? Apple is an enormous company. They sold 100 million iPads around the world. So, you know, the stakes are pretty high. And in Monday's issue, you know, I have a lead news story in which I spoke to a number of lawyers who all agreed just that. Apple is facing potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in damages if it loses a trial. But the point is, really, Apple had no choice. It had to fight these charges, and not because of the money. Because let's face it, writing a check is not a big deal for Apple. They're sitting on a pile of cash reserves, which was made all the more clear by the fact that they were dragged in front of Congress to talk about their tax policies just this week. But what really would be damaging for Apple, and like the settlements did for each of the five accused publishers, is that Apple is facing years of intrusive government oversight of its business affairs. And you can believe that, you know, Apple is not about to let a compliance team from the Department of Justice just walk in and set up shop in Cupertino, right? No way. They're going to have to earn that at trial.
Well, I have to say, you know, if the Department of Justice wanted to show up at my house, I would tell them to earn it a trial as well. Anyway, so you've been reading the playbooks for the lawsuits and what's going to happen in courtrooms. What have you found?
Yeah, pretty much I've been reading only that lately. Pretty much nothing else. Thousands of pages of documents. And the game plans are pretty straightforward, I have to say, and especially now that it's just going to be Apple sitting at the defense table. So in its pre-trial filings already this month, we spoke a little bit about them last week, and I'm going to warn you now that we're probably going to be speaking about Apple for a good long time here as this trial gets underway. But Apple's defense can basically be boiled down to three major points. The first point is that there is no conspiracy. Although Apple openly admits it exploited the tight timeline around the iPad launch, as well as publishers' well-known concerns about Amazon's low pricing, the company says it was only looking out for its own business interests, and that it never spoke to more than one publisher at a time, and that it engaged in, you know, contentious and individual negotiations with each publisher. The second major point, which I have to tell you is kind of a stretch to me, is that Apple is going to argue at trial that secretly Amazon was actually in favor of the agency model all along. Apple attorneys say that Amazon officials had actually had discussions about an agency model with publishers prior to any agreements with Apple, and that Amazon's ebook margins actually improved under agency. But I have to say, reading over the evidence, that's a long shot. I don't think Amazon was truly interested in any kind of an agency model at all. So I wish Apple luck with that one. And its third major point that it's going to argue here is that, hey, how can there be an anti-competitive conspiracy when there's been such robust new competition in the ebook space? You know, at trial, Apple experts are going to argue that competition has flourished since Apple's entry into the ebook market. And in terms of ebook prices overall, they're going to argue that prices have not risen across the ecosystem of ebooks, and that, you know, the DOJ's carving out of bestseller prices really does not constitute a legally relevant market. Now, yes, some prices have risen, Apple will concede, but that's because Amazon had previously priced those books below cost in an effort to stifle competition. Amazon really is the true anti-competitive force here, they're going to argue. In its filings, however, the government lays out a simple and, I'd say, pretty powerful case against Apple, and it's backed up by tons and tons of evidence, including statements from all of the big six, many of whom CEOs and other executives are going to be testifying at this trial. So Apple, the government alleges, was actually the ringleader of this horizontal conspiracy to eliminate price competition, and it was all rooted around publishers' antipathy to Amazon's $9.99 price. So basically, it boils down to this. Apple knew, and its testimony shows, that it was not going to be able to compete with Amazon on price. So it undertook this scheme to move the entire industry over to an agency model where publishers would control the prices. Now, Apple coordinated all the efforts, you know, and publishers got what they wanted too, pricing control, and Apple got what it wanted, which was no competition when it launched its ebook store. Consumers, meanwhile, did see prices rise. And therein, you know, DOJ personnel say lies the conspiracy. Apple knew that it was providing enough cover for all the publishers to be able to move at one time to a new model and therefore not face individual retribution from Amazon. But here's the real, truly fascinating part of all this reading to me. What's the government strategy going to be at trial, and how is that going to play out? Because with all the evidence in, it's become really clear to me that Apple, for lack of a better word, manipulated publishers. They truly exploited fears of an Amazon planet to push them in a matter of just a couple of weeks into this sort of one time only take it or leave it deal that seemed really too good to pass up for publishers who were freaking out about Amazon lowering the prices of books. Now, I don't know about you, but given all the industry has been through, $200 million, for example, I might be a little pissed off when I'm looking at Eddie Q's depositions about Apple's brilliant negotiating strategy in launching its iBook store. So without having to admit that I'm involved in any wrongdoing, if I was a publisher, I'd have to guess that testifying at trial, I'm not going to be terribly sympathetic to Apple's argument. And you can be sure the DOJ attorneys are going to be looking to exploit any sense of publisher resentment over this situation that may linger.
Well, you know, Andrew, I have to tell you, I was hanging on your every word there, and I really mean that, because it's a remarkable story. It's got a sort of unexpected drama to it, because the particular sides, the publishers and Apple here, really need each other right now, and yet they find themselves in this very oppositional space in a courtroom in New York City. Quite remarkable.
I think what you're going to see at this trial is actually going to be very dramatic, because all of this played out. We're talking about an industry that moved to an agency model, a completely different model for ebooks in the span of 2 weeks, egged on by two things: Apple's desire to get into the ebook market and publishers' desire to fix Amazon's pricing.
Well, Andrew, we look forward to learning more about it. We expect to be able to talk to you on the floor of the Javits Center for next week's Book Expo America. We'll see you there. We'll see everybody there. Come by the Copyright Clearance Center booth, or find us on the floor wandering around trying to find some latest news from the trade book world. Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.